The blood of Jesus over this meeting and over the room and all those that come in. But Lord, we thank you for your blessing over the word, and that that word will penetrate deep into our hearts, Lord, and that, Father, we may mix faith with that which we hear. Lord, we thank you for this word in these last days. We thank you for this heavenly manna that feeds us and sustains us week after week. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk on some of the principles of the deeper life. And we're calling our teaching tonight the attitude and affection of the heart. The attitude and affection of the heart. And this is very important, because this really tells whether we're receiving the word, the revelation, hearing from God or not. And it's all on the basis of our affections and attitudes. And this is very, very important with the deeper life, because this can affect how we hear. This can hinder the walk. And so we're going to spend time with this on this teaching tonight. We've heard a lot of it before, but I believe we need to go over it again. And I'm sure, as is always the case, more will be highlighted. The attitude and affection of the heart. Praise God. Now, like all of this walk with the Lord, this has to be revealed. And I've been spending time over the last few weeks about our experience with God, this walk of faith, how that we should be experiencing the supernatural from God, the miracle in our lives, how God is working in us where it would not be otherwise. And this is absolutely paramount if you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. But like all things, everything has to be divinely revealed. We don't see unless God opens our eyes, our ears, our heart. And there is still more that God needs to reveal to us. We have already received it by faith. We have already received the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit. But it is the flesh, it is the attitudes, the heart, that hinders still us fully seeing and hearing what God is working and requiring and wanting of us. So everything is based on revelation. This teaching tonight is based on revelation. And we either see it or we don't. And you see, revelation comes on the basis of not only hearing, we know that faith, Romans 10:17, but also comes on the basis of asking. As we take that which we hear, and this is why we encourage you to take notes and to just put down certain things if you have need of seeking God or praying about it, because it also comes with asking as well. As we know so well in Luke 11 and verses 9 onwards, where it speaks about asking, seeking and knocking. Well, all of this, of course, is about asking for the right things. And let's just remind ourselves what it says. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So often we just appropriate that for our blessings or things that we want. But how about applying that portion of scripture in God opening our eyes and ears and heart, going deeper with him, a greater revelation and understanding of what he's saying and doing with us? Because it doesn't come immediately. Sometimes God tests us to see whether we really mean business. And that's why it's a seeking, it's a knocking, it's an asking. It doesn't always manifest straight away. Or it may seem in prayer that you're just not touching God yet. Well, there needs to be a little bit more seeking, knocking, finding. Because you surely will. And it's the same with our growth with this walk. There are times when God speaks direct, goes direct into the heart, and there are other times where we have to seek him because we know we have need of seeing more. God has highlighted things in our lives, but it's not just going to fall into our laps. We have to seek him. We have to be obedient. We have to be yielded to the Spirit. And when he's highlighting certain things, we need then to appropriate and do it. So this is why we have the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us, so that we can know the mind of the Lord. We can know the way and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because God never works the same way every time. He will never do that with us because he knows we are too quick to fall into a routine. So he avoids that. But it is a seeking, it is a waiting on God. And there are times when the Holy Spirit will lead us in a specific way in which we're seeking and asking about certain things, or him revealing more of himself to us. So it's more than just asking for your needs, your wants. It's about asking more of him as well. And very few actually do that. But that's what he wants to do. You see, God is looking for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because we know they will be filled. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness, there's also an attitude and an affection of the heart that is attached to that. And that even has to be revealed to us. This is why the humble will deal with the exposures. Those who walk humbly in humility before God will always deal with the exposures in their life where God is highlighting or chastening or whatever. Because the humble also have a fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And so if we walk humbly before God, then the humble are going to get that deeper revelation and understanding of the Lord, his will, this walk, the deeper life, and what he's doing with us. But it's on the basis of attitude and affections. Our attitudes, our affections can hinder our heart. I believe they're very much associated with the parable of the sower. We know that the hard ground reveals the hard heart, where the seed of the word isn't really doing an awful lot. So we have to be very sensitive to our attitudes, to our motives, to our affections. Sometimes we have to be completely honest and ask ourselves this question before God: Lord, do I really have an affection for this walk or not? Some of us have to be real with God. We can so easily go through the motions. We can act it up to a certain point. Because at the end of the day, all of what God is saying and doing with regard to our walk, the deeper life, has to be revealed. This is a revelation. It is a miracle working in our lives each day. And this is what's so important for us to understand. But the humble will deal with these exposures, because it's an affection of the heart, and the heart is to yield. And we know in this understanding of yielding, it's not in doing, but simply the absence of resistance. So this affection that we have for God, his ways, what he's doing, when we find that he requires things of us, instead of resisting, there is the grace and mercy and revelation and faith to yield. Some of you are not still understanding what it is to yield, because it's not yet really being revealed to you. And of course, it is the cross, which is to daily deal with the self-life, that selfish life that wants its own way, to do things individually against the will of God for our lives. I think, to be honest, we're still a little bit frightened of submitting totally to the will of God. What will he require of me? What will be the cost? Will I want to do this? Could I actually sacrifice for the Lord what he's requiring? You see, that is logic, that is the mind, that is fear and unbelief that works. But when it is revealed to us in revelation, God always gives the grace. He always goes before, and you have that confidence that you walk in his will. This is why it bypasses the mind. It is a doing. It's not a questioning. It's when God requires you yield over because you have that affection in your heart. If the affection is not there, you're not going to yield. And so you simply go through the motions, and that is where we're religious. You see, God is going much deeper now with some of these teachings that we've had in the past. And this is why he's going over this again with the deeper life, so that none of us get it wrong. So that we have time to get it right where we're missing it. But yielding has to be an affection of the heart, else it's never, ever going to work. Romans 7, verse 21. We know this well. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, and the one who will to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So we delight in God, we delight in his word. Yes, it's all right. Yes, amen, this all sounds fine. This is the word of God, hallelujah, and so forth. But we find there is something else that wars against all of it, that warring against the flesh. And this is where the cross comes to crucify the flesh. And as the flesh is crucified by you willingly, daily taking up your cross and following the Lord, this is a great help to yielding to the Lord. because it will work that affection within your heart in time, as God is working in the inner man, changing us daily. The unregenerate, those out in the world, they cannot surrender. They're not going to surrender up their selfish will up to God. And the reason why is because it holds no interest to them. So it's no good going out and expecting the world to do this. And they won't, because they have no interest. They have no affection in their hearts. And so God has to put that within us. But sometimes we have to concentrate on that. And we have to ask the Lord to continue to put a greater interest within our hearts that will cause us to walk in faith and obedience and trusting Him. But again, this is a supernatural experience. How do we have these affections within our heart? It doesn't lie within me. This is the grace and mercy of God working this in me, both to will and do for His good pleasure. Is that your experience? It should be, if you're an overcomer. You see, that's why the unregenerates, they never surrender. That's why so many sit religiously in churches each Sunday. But there's no real affection in the heart to surrender to the will of God, to obedience, because the affection is not there. And God, in His mercy and grace, He puts that there. So God has to put that new heart and that new spirit within us, doesn't He? We know this very, very well in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, which speaks about how can a man change himself? He can't. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. So you can't change yourself. You can't even change yourself after listening to this teaching. Right, it's going to change from now on. Things are going to be different. You'll fall flat on your face within a few days, unless you seek God with all your heart and ask Him to put that within you. It's never going to work otherwise, brothers and sisters. This walk is about asking and believing. And we're all too often asking for the wrong things that we want in the flesh. Let's start asking more for that pertains to the spirit, to the inner man. Then all the rest will come, and all the needs and everything. It's seeking the kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added as He's promised. How about in Ezekiel 36? We know this very, very well. But let's remind ourselves again, verses 26, 27 of Ezekiel 36. 26, 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Goes on about dwelling safely in the land. So there we are. God takes that initiative. You see, many, by an act of their will, try to change. But they find after a time the affection isn't there. And this is a lot of problem. And this, of course, is why faith cannot be released. If the affection, the belief, is not in the heart, then faith cannot be released. I believe that the affection, the right attitude, is very much paramount to faith in believing. You can't really separate any of these things. And it's interesting that those who act, they try to change and so on, for a season, you find that they're committed, but find problems down the times in which the heart will be exposed. The heart hasn't changed, and so when the trials come, they fall away, because the affection isn't there. It was moved by emotion. It was moved by simply just hearing the word, but not letting the word do its work deep in the heart. And we've all fallen short of this, where we have just been moved emotionally and found that actually the heart was not really moved. And so we were not able to produce the fruit of that. So we all have to be on our guard. Lord, do I have the affection for this? Is this in my heart? Are my attitudes right? You know, so often our attitudes can be wrong. We can have a wrong attitude towards certain aspects of the teaching. And every time certain parts of the teaching come up, we find we react. And so we can't release faith and believe. Maybe we still have wrong attitudes towards divine healing. Maybe the wrong attitude is, well, so-and-so died in the body and so-and-so didn't get healed or raised up. Brothers and sisters, you're leading towards a wrong attitude. And you will never believe. You won't have the affection. It won't be in your heart to release faith. And that's why maybe you're not breaking through, because of that. Because we're looking to where it didn't work. Well, let's look to where much of it also has worked. There are many, many testimonies, praise God, in the assembly over the years of God's faithfulness, his provision, his healing, and so on. It is just like the devil that wants to highlight on one particular thing and hold your mind in that mindset because it didn't work. We're up against a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities that war against man's mind. They're demonic forces. This is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And we have to deal with those wrong attitudes that can come up. Do I have an affection for everything that God is revealing and doing? Do I have an affection for the deeper life? Do I have an affection for the assembly that I am a part of? You will know whether you have an affection for these things by the way you act. By what we say, what we do. It doesn't take long for us, if we walk humbly before God, to actually see where we stand in all of this. And that's why the humble will see that. And they will do something about it. They will say, Lord, this isn't right. I'm not doing what I should do to fulfill my role in the body, or areas of where I'm battling still in faith. They will remain and stay before God until it is revealed, until they know that change comes within their heart. That is how an overcomer grows up into a son. It's much, much more than just listening to sermons. It's much, much more than just listening to the pastor and he's ministering his gift. Much, much more. It's my approach, my attitude, the affection of my heart towards this word, what it's going to do in my life to bring forth that fruit. And part of that fruit is also faith, believing, as well as the love of God. We may still have wrong attitudes towards brothers and sisters. God is going to expose it, because the assembly is an assembly of love. It is an agape meeting. It is where we minister, we serve one another in the love of Jesus. That is what our meeting should be about. But do I have an affection for that? Do I have the right heart for that? Or am I there because I want to be served? You see, it's the heart, it's the attitude. It doesn't take long for us to understand why it is we don't break through or get the deliverances or healings that God wants us to have to glorify his name. Very often it is wrong attitudes. And if they're there, then the affection of the heart for God is not fully there. And that's why we can't yield and surrender to the will of God. And the cross is not doing its work. We know it as a theology, and we've said, yes, I'm taking it up daily and following the Lord. But even our attitude towards that can be wrong. As I once heard many, many, many years back, where attitude's concerned, probably there's a demon behind every attitude. And I don't have a problem believing that. But there are many, by an act of their will, are trying to change. But they find after time, you just surrender because the affection isn't there, and you become frustrated, angry, despondent, depressed, and so on. That could be some of the problem that has been affecting the body. You're trying to walk this walk, but you can't, because the affection of the heart is not being changed. The affection's not there. And the reason being is because the attitudes are still wrong. And that may be the battle. And we find that we're committed for a season, and then when trouble comes or problems, I don't want to do it anymore. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't have that luxury. I know my calling and position, and everything that I do, I give God all the praise, all the glory. It is a miracle I'm here tonight doing what I'm doing. I could not do this if he had not put that affection within my heart for his glory. So I am speaking from experience. You see, the deeper life has to have the heart and affection. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being. That has to be an affection. That has to be miraculously put there in your heart. Maybe we're not loving God as we should in that way. Then we have a chance to call on him. We have a chance to seek him, and that he will put more of that within us. Because I believe spiritually we're in this last lap now, this race. And this is what's going to sort out the men from the boys. This is what's going to sort out those who are really hearing and yielding to the Lord and those that are not. And this is why God is addressing us in the way that he is, because he loves us. He wants us to make it. He wants us to know that he has set a place for us in the courts of heaven, as overcomers, as the bride. He wants you to experience that you are part of the bride of Christ. It's not because you are a member of FGA. It's because you know it's divinely revealed. It's a revelation that I am part of the bride of Christ. That door has opened in that spiritual ark and I have entered in. Because I'm desperate. Because I have that affection, that right heart and attitude for that. God wants you to know that. Because it's going to be such a great anchoring. It's going to really cause us to stand in these last days, to endure to the end. Because there's so much that's trying to attack to get us to retract and go back or just compromise. But you see, God won't let us compromise. You either go forward or you either go back. And that's where we deceive ourselves. You see, many can be challenged by the word for a season. They can attend all the prayer meetings, all the meetings that we have on Sunday, meeting all the needs in the church, giving financially each week, religiously, stirring up the gifts, only to find that you abandoned it after a period of time or season. Why? Because the affection was not in the heart. You were emotionally moved. And it was feelings, emotions. They will not save you. Emotions, feelings will not make you a faithful overcomer. It has to be divinely put there, the affection of the heart. And that's why you see, as I bring this to a conclusion, this is why you find that the church so often is worldly, seeks the world, relies in the arm of the flesh, compromises. Jesus said that's the broad way, but the way into the kingdom of heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it, because it takes the affection of the heart to be changed. And if the heart is not being changed in that way, then you compromise and you will look more and more to the world to satisfy you, to stimulate you, because you become bored with the walk. You become bored with the word. You become bored with the meetings and so on. We all of us have to be on our guard for that. But those whose hearts are being changed, you have that affection, whatever, because you love the word of God. You love the Lord's presence. You love the meeting of the saints coming together. The affection is there. I'm not sure it is with everyone, even in the assembly. But it is for you to go and seek God on this, while we still have the time. Because God wants to take this assembly to the next plateau. Don't look in the natural, because if you do, it's hopeless. Your walk appears hopeless. Your faith appears ineffectual. What use am I? If you look like that, you will never, ever experience that faith and that affection and right attitude in the heart. But for those who walk by faith, always what is seen by that is faithfulness. They're faithful because they still have the affection in the heart. Whatever they go through, whatever the cost. And this is why we go through these trials, because these trials, as we know, are tailor-made in order for us to be able to have those right heart and affection. God knows how to do it. And he loves us. He's not going to give up on us. This is why he speaks sometimes so plainly, so firmly to us. That is what a loving father does. Sometimes he chastens us, rebukes us, for a very, very good reason. We have, none of us can afford to relax, to sit on the fence. Time is so short. We are seeing the rapid falling away in the world. Everything, doesn't matter where it is, all around you, you are seeing a decay, a falling away. You see now when you go out into the streets, I went out, had to go shopping today. It's like God opens your eyes. I encountered a lot of people mentally disturbed. There are just times when God opens your mind and heart, or to be able to pray for these people. But so many are mentally disturbed. They are so confused. Many, many are having breakdowns. Many of them on strong drugs prescribed to them, and so on. And you just come away and you realize what God is doing in your life. My life. That could be me by the grace and mercy of God. Yet at the same time, you see, God was challenging the affection of my heart. What was my attitude towards that person? What was my attitude towards that person today, a lady that stood by my side? Very strange, very peculiar in the natural. Didn't smell very nice. My flesh wanted to just walk away or ignore her. I thought, no. Lord Jesus, you love her. You died for her as much as you did for me. And you lift them up to the Lord. Father, have mercy on their soul. Have mercy on their soul. May their names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If somebody didn't pray for you and me, we would not be here tonight. Make no bones about it. So it is an affection of the heart. And only God can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. You cannot do it. You can only do it by yielding over, by seeking God, by asking in prayer, making yourself available, waiting on God so that he can change your life. If we're busy, 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 involved in the world, then these changes will not come. This whole walk is a consecration, a separation unto God. Wherefore come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. You can't grow otherwise. and you can't hear what God is saying because everything has to be revealed to us. The end time plan for the overcomer has to be revealed to us. Because this will help us. This will encourage us. This will enable us to be able to press on and stay with it to the end. That's the whole point. So, there we are, this yielding to the Lord, which is this absence of resistance. You will find, when you seek God on this, and when he requires of you, instead of resisting, that affection will just be there to yield. No, you will not like it in the flesh, because most of what God requires of us, we do not like it in the flesh. Because it goes against our will. It goes against what I want to do. But as you grow in this, and you see that God requires whatever he does of you, you will always find, if it is a work of the Holy Spirit, he has already gone before, and he has worked in your heart, and placed that affection there, in which to yield over. But if it's not there, it will only last for a season. And that's why, sadly, a lot have gone away from this walk, because it only lasts for a season. And the reason being is because the affection in the heart was not there. A wise man or woman will take heed to this, and we'll see that this is the key to this walk, to overcoming, to the deeper life. Praise God. Again, tonight, you know how to go straight to the point. Things that are very important. You have dealt with things tonight that is going to take us on in this last lap. As overcomers, may all of us apply that wisdom. And whatever you're saying to each one of us, both individually and corporately, we will seek you. We will make it an urgent matter. Let us be about our Father's business, and not the business of the world, or busybody into other people's affairs. Help us to seek your kingdom and you only. And you've said all the rest will be added. All what we have spoken about tonight that equips us and enables us to be able to walk and glorify you supernaturally. Father, where there are wrong attitudes, change them. Where we do not have the affections that we should, work them within our hearts, Lord, in your mercy and grace. Father, enable and help us and empower us to not only be hearers but doers of this word tonight. Let us not make the mistake that Israel made. Help us, Father, and show us the importance of walking humbly, bowing that knee in your presence. If we find that difficult, help, Lord, to have the affection within our heart to do so. Because otherwise, Father, as you said in the word, you resist us. We are our own worst enemy. And so, Father, I thank you tonight for healing deliverance over this teaching. Father, I desire that you have been glorified in our gathering, and that you will be high and lifted up in our lives and our consecration. Father, I pray you'll bless us this week. Father, may we be a light in this world. Enable and help us, equip us to be able to share the good news of the gospel with anyone who has an ear and a heart for it. Let us not hold back. Give us that boldness, Father. Keep us from the evil one, from temptation, above all from self. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
Life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, our Father.